Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, December 30th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 79, the second paragraph that begins with "usually, however," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E. will be reading the 12 steps, Sherry KB will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kathy Jo P., Don B., and Marcella M. The share ID for Sunday, December 29th special edition is 13,892. And for this morning's December 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 13,893. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcement. The OA preamble. And I think someone's unmuted, so if you could check your line, please, and just star one to mute. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your year of service. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. Okay, Sherry KB, would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Sure. Good morning. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive every year. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry KB. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 79, the second paragraph that begins with usually, however. And good morning, Kathy Jo P. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis in Mexico. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we know had remarried. Because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. He went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life, had secured a position, and was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive, heroic, if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am. I'm going to be honest and tell you, this text is very... there's a lot in here, and a lot of it at the moment feels above my head, but I'm going to do my best. And one thing I know, in order for someone to walk up to the judge and say, "Here I am," it would be somebody who is 100% sober, abstinent, and connected to God, because that's the only way that we can face our debtors, creditors, people that we have harmed, people that we owe more than just money to. In order to walk in and say, "Here I am," we would be needing to be embraced by the sunlight of the Spirit and the fellowship in order to do this. So I know that much. And also, I owed money, and a lot of the money I owed, others did not know about. I was cheating, lying, and stealing my whole life, and it never was anything real blatant. I wasn't the one to walk into a store and take an expensive purse and walk out the door. But I was the one to pretend like my daughter was younger than she was to get a kid's meal or to get into a movie theater or a play at a reduced rate. And I was the one to stuff my purse, which is no different almost than stealing a purse out of a store, but stuff my purse with muffins and different items from a buffet to eat later and be justified in that and thinking that that's okay. To use coupons that maybe were expired and things like that. And one of the stories that I've told many times is that I would park for free at the YWCA because my parking voucher somehow or another was broken, and I was able to go in and out of the YWCA and get parking for free for several years. And I walked in to the YWCA, and I was going to go to the front desk girl. I did not want to talk to the manager. Somehow or another, the sunlight of the spirit embraced me enough that I walked in, and words that came out of my mouth were, "Can I speak to a manager?" And I sat down, and basically I told her, "Here I am. I lied, cheated, and stealed, and took from you and got free parking." And she figured out that bill for me, and I owed them $37. It cost 50 cents to park there each time. And that's the person who showed up back then, and that was the way that I was able to be disconnected from God and need a reason to seek food to get the ease and comfort in order to live in this world. Last night, I went to a restaurant in Mexico, and we had three waters at our table. I went to the waiter afterwards to let him know we owed him for a water. And that keeps me connected to the sunlight of the spirit. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P., for getting us started this morning. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph? We are on the second paragraph on page 79. Usually, however, is where it starts. Who else would like to share on that paragraph?
Lisa J.R.
Who came right before Lisa J.R.? Began with a D, I think.
Is it Des M, maybe?
Des. Okay, Des M. Lisa J.R.
Ginger B.
Sunny S.
Ginger C.
Okay, I got Ginger C and Sunny S, and somebody was between those two.
Deborah G.
Yeah, I heard Deborah G.
Irene B.
Okay, I have my lineup here. Des M, Lisa J.R., Ginger C., Deborah G., Sunny S., and Irene B. I think I got everyone's initials right. So go ahead, please, Des M.
Hi, good morning. This is Des M., a compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen. And I love hearing the "Here I am" reiterated. And I listened to the earlier meeting, just the beginning of the share, and it was really struck me with the "Here I am." And it was talking about interpretation versus, I'm going to forget the word, but basically the big book is open for interpretation, but we can't do the steps our own way. And the paragraph's just bringing up for me in that first share of how I just used to, I still do, it's my way and then my way with God in my life. And the parking tickets, I used to, use this. I would buy one parking ticket when I was in school, and then I'd put it on my dashboard hoping that nobody would see it. And then I would be so angry when I would finally get a ticket because they'd notice that it was from a month ago. And gosh, I could just go into so many examples of where that is. And the here I am, like just say here I am, like the freedom in showing up and the freedom in sharing truth. And, you know, here I am showing up. I've decided Monday mornings are going to be my vision mornings. There's been another commitment in my life at 7. And so I'm just going to try to do the meetings at least once a week and have that be a commitment. But I'm not able to do it 5 days a week. And I'm just really grateful for the big book and for these meetings and that we do study it and get to interpret it and get to learn. And I hope everyone has a great ending to the decade. I know my life is very different than it was 10 years ago. And a lot has to do with my connection. Everything has to do with my connection with my higher power. And that's definitely, you know, attributed to this big book. And so I hope everyone has a beautiful day. Thank you again for everyone's service and for sharing in my recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Des M. Okay, Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Ginger C.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland. I hope the raindrops on my poncho weren't too loud, but this section in the book, this paragraph means a lot to me because I was very dishonest about my financial behavior around the food. I oftentimes, you know, felt the Epicurean, had to go to the best restaurant and just pay enough of my bills to stay above water. Very dishonest. However, when a client passed away suddenly and left me in an overnight debt of about $100,000, the words of my father echoed in my ears and, you know, I put my head down and my ass up and I plowed forward and I drove a dump truck at night and miraculously God, you know, worked during the day and of all things, a dump truck. And, you know, God used that in my life to help me. I listened to a lot of good talk radio. I listened to a lot of edifying things while I was paying off my debt, you know. So, it, you know, that how free do you want to be? It does. It takes a tremendous amount of moxie to walk up to a judge, to an ex-spouse, to a creditor and say, you know, this is what I've done and I'm going to make it right. It might take some time, but miraculously, God got me through it. And I can look the world in the eye again. And that's worth its weight in gold times infinity. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. Okay, Ginger C., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service this morning. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And, you know, this book is so clear and it solves all my problems. And it tells me that my root problem is me, my selfishness, my self-centeredness. Everything revolves around me. Make me happy. Make me okay. I'll make you go to great lengths and great expenses, too, you know. And I've wreaked havoc. I've been a mess and have caused a lot of harm. And the goal from this work in these 12 steps is a day at a time to hopefully create no more harm. There is enough pain in this world. I don't need to add to it today if I stay in a fit spiritual condition and I stay close and connected to God. And so, you know, we all get to do this. How privileged are we to be on this line? We had an earlier call as well. We get to just study this text. And I get to do this if I follow the directions precisely and exactly. And this work says we must not shrink it up anything. However, other people are involved. That to me is a warning, a pause. Let's slow down. Let's stop. Because again, we don't want to create more harm. And I have to be considerate of these other people that are involved. And I have my part and I know I need to take care of my part. Because again, this work is not to feel better. It's not about selfish, self-centered me. It's about doing better. showing up into this world with love and light. There's a lot of darkness out there. Are you shining bright? But it's so important, again, that we follow it precisely. We do it with others. We don't just, you know, take the bit in our teeth and then go running through making these amends. We seek counsel. We get help. We get guidance. Because, again, you can create a lot more harm by going into amends in the wrong way. You're supposed to have a forgiving and a helpful spirit. Are you there? Because if you're not, don't go. Take the time, pray. Let the heart change with God changing it, not you. And then you get to see these incredible results that can come. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger C. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Sunny S.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, recovered, debtors, compulsive overeater. I thought I was in the other program when I was listening. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service and everyone on Team Monday that made this meeting possible this morning for all of us. And thank you all for all your shares, continuing to 12-step me with this program and reminding me of this program and what I can do to stay abstinent today. And I was thinking about when the reading said about resentment that he had and that was the cause in his drinking. I was thinking when I'm in that resentment, I'm in that self-entitlement. I'm entitled. I can easily, with money, you know, justify and rationalize, minimize that I'm entitled. I'm entitled. You know, I'm in my disease. I'm in my head entitled. And I did that for so long with so much money. And the repair was about making all those wrongs right and getting the freedom, you know, because of that vicious cycle with that self-entitlement and doing all those acts that weren't acts that I would do now. You know, it would continue to lead me to the food or to the drinking or to something because that's inside me still. But when I did the work, I like when it talked about he had done the work here, our way of life, and secured a position and was getting his head above water. You know, the healing that comes. I was able to, through going through the steps, getting closer and closer to God and knowing that I'm going to be taken care of, that God loves me, and I'm going to be carried through whatever thing I need to do so I can have that greater freedom so I'm not going to the food. You know, clearing away whatever I need to do, making wrongs right. You know, being the person God wants me to be so I can be helpful to other people and share that with them that they can have the same thing. Ah, oh, this beautiful, beautiful program, those beautiful 12 steps and the beautiful freedom and closeness to God. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Sunny S., it is your turn, followed by Irene B. Go ahead, Sunny.
Good morning. Thank you very much. This is Sunny S. in Denver, Colorado. What's coming for me with this paragraph is something that I've been working on actively, which is the difference between amends. There's one amend where I come up to a person and I say sorry, and then I feel very shameful for myself, and I almost take like a victim position where, you know, I'm this bad person that just needs to apologize and feel that, and I feel the humiliation, I feel the shame. And then there's a different type of amends that I can do, which is a spiritual amends, whereas where I actually show up and I take responsibility for my wrong, and then I work towards living amends and living in the solution. And part of it, yes, there could be some healthy guilt involved, but there isn't that, like, weight or downward spiral that the other one has. And these are really different for me because in one of them, I'm taking responsibility and then I'm feeling the shame and then I'm digging myself into a hole where I'm going to repeat the same mistake. And in the other one, I acknowledge I'm human. There's humility in the mistake. And I attempt to, just keep showing up. So I made this mistake. This is how it happened. I get some information about how I got into that situation. And then I do my best to stay in the solution and take responsibility. So I wish I could come up with an example recently in my life. There's just been so many. But that's one of the reasons that I'm here in this meeting this morning. It's because I want to take responsibility and I want to realize that I'm human. And being recovered for a few years does not mean that I don't have to do amends. It really is like a daily thing for me. Just to realize that I can get myself back up again and ask higher power for guidance and see what the next step is. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sunny S. Okay, before we take Irene B., just a reminder, we're on page 79, the second paragraph that begins with usually, however, and I'll be taking some more names to share on that paragraph after Irene B. So go ahead, please, Irene B.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. And I am Irene B., and I'm an abstinent bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I'm so joyful to be able to say that I'm abstinent, but I don't dare say recovered because when I first went into treatment 30-some years ago, I was told that my bulimia was not the problem, that it was the symptom of the problem. And the real problem is the fact that I'm entitled, I'm hurt, I was traumatized. I think that I don't matter. And I have so much love in my heart that I don't know, it needs to go somewhere. And I think that I'm a good person, but the reality is that I'm an immature person who is selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, full of fear. God, so much fear. And so now that I've been abstinent for nearly 33 months, I get to deal with the root of the problem, and it's chaotic. And it says in here that we are not to be hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. Well, that's exactly who I am because, I go around stepping on people's toes. I'm oblivious to it. And when they retaliate, I have no idea why they're so mean and I'm such a martyr, poor me. Well, not only am I selfish, self-seeking, and all those things, in addition to that, I stay on self-reliance. I'm working this program the hardest I know, and I'm still, I just realized the reason why this isn't working for me is because I'm still on self-reliance. I'm going to figure out the way that I want to do it. I am not consulting with my sponsor without going and making the amends, or I'm not following the rules exactly as they're set out to be followed because I either can take shortcuts or, you know, there's always a reason for me. I'm always justified. I make excuses for myself. A lot of rationalization that goes on for me to make my own rules. In other words, I'm still my own God. I'm not following program, and I'm trying hard. That's how deep-rooted this disease is. And without God, I can't overcome this. And without y'all's help, I can't overcome this. And I just thank God that I have the clarity now to know that I'm the problem. And my goodness, I have to try harder to rely on my sponsor and program to guide me through the process instead of me making the rules as I go along, as I see fit. And with that, I pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, who else would like to share on page 79, the second paragraph that begins with usually, however?
Kaya H.
Kara L.
Hi. Kaya H. Kara L.
Marilyn T.
Lori A.
Lori A.
Awesome.
Take a couple more names.
Deborah R.
Deborah R.
Rachel P.
Patty T.
Rachel P. and Patty T. Okay, we may run out of time, so let's stop there. And I think I got your name right. Kaya H., Kara L., Marilyn G., Lori A., Deborah R., Rachel P., and if we have time for Patty T. So go ahead, Kaya H., please.
Hi, it's actually Freya. It's F-R-E-Y-A.
Oh, Freya. I'm sorry, Freya. I do know your name. Okay, go ahead, Freya. Sorry.
Thank you. Very, very grateful to share. Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. And this paragraph is about not making more harm when I make my amends. And the words that jumped out at me are where it says hasty and foolish. And I know that especially that word hasty, meaning I'm in a hurry, I don't want to stop and think. And when it comes to making amends, sometimes if I, it is so uncomfortable for me to be in that realization and that honesty that, oh my gosh, I've done harm. It's so, so painful. And I just want to hastily jump right in and put a Band-Aid on it. I just want to make it better so that I can stop being uncomfortable. And so that's what comes to mind for me is that, oh yeah, I need to pause. I need to really go through this work patiently and thoroughly, and I need to share it with somebody else. And I especially need to get quiet so that I can access my higher power, because my ego is screaming so loud that if I don't intentionally get quiet, I have no chance of hearing my higher power's calm, gentle, reassuring guidance. So that's what I wanted to share about that. And that whenever I know that, you know, that question about when am I being guided by higher power versus when am I being guided by my will? And it's all about how it feels for me. It's, does it feel calm? Does it feel peaceful? Does it feel patient? That's God's will. And when it's hasty and foolish and insistent and full of fear, that's usually my will. And so when I can take the action, you know, take the time to get quiet, then I can go about doing, you know, living my life and making amends where necessary in a way that doesn't cause more harm. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Okay, Kara L., you're up next, followed by Marilyn G.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everyone who's giving service on the meeting today and bringing it to us. I wasn't going to share today, and I was moved to speak today, something that just happened. And, you know, we've been going over the amends process the last week, and I found myself comparing myself to other people as they shared. Did I do enough? Do I have that one? And I had to stop, and I had to stop last week at the end of the week, and I said, you know what, God, if there are things you need me to do and move forward, please have them come to mind. And I was moved, you know, one of the amends I haven't made that I haven't had a healed heart yet. And that person kept coming to mind all week. And so I've prayed and prayed, and I'm feeling the healing. And now I'm feeling a willingness that amends can be made with an open heart. And another one was, and then I was moved to look back at my list of people I haven't been able to find and try again on one of them. And I sent a message, you know, via social media this week, and I didn't hear anything last week. I didn't hear anything. And just this morning during the meeting, I heard back saying that, you know, they're in another state now, but be willing to take a phone call. And that's not me. That's all my higher powers work. When I let go of self, and when I just say, I am here, I am willing to be guided and molded, show me what to do. intuitively the answers come. And I'm so I can't tell you how much gratitude I am filled this morning with that, you know, I got that message back. I'm going to be able to make that amends now, and that my heart is healing on the other amends, and that God will provide when I ask. God is always there and always willing to provide when I am there and I do my darndest to clear the wreckage of my past and clear the roadblocks to keep me from my higher power. That's my job. And I'm just so thankful this morning, and I'm thankful to finish out this decade and this year with my fellows. I'll be on the meeting tomorrow, so that last day we'll share together, and thank you so much. And just a little shout out, if anybody's going to the OA birthday party, I will be there, and I want to meet you all. So with that, I will pass. Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, Kara L. Okay, Marilyn G., you're up next, followed by Lori A.
Thank you, Kathleen. This is Marilyn T., grateful compulsive overeater from California. And I just wanted to tell of a little experience with the amends. I did make an amends to my ex-husband, only have one. So it was, meaning I only had one ex-husband. It was interesting. I worked very hard with my sponsor. This last fourth step that I just did was very revealing in a lot of things, the judgmentalness, the manipulation, the people pleasing and things like that. And really God had never shown those to me before. And I was very humbled and wanting to make the appropriate amends. I worked with my sponsor very diligently, writing it out before I ever did it. And then calling and making an appointment with him, and he happens to be in another state, and I was traveling there. And we also share the grief of having lost our only child. And it's just interesting that God puts in your path at a certain time what you can handle. He knows your plight. He knows what's going on, and he softens your heart to that extent. And I was able to meet with him and do the amends and listen to him and to be able to move on with a softer heart and more compassion for him. And then 2 days later, it was Christmas, and my brother and I looked at each other and said we didn't want him to be alone. So we traveled 150 miles one way to take him Christmas dinner and to prepare it for him and to clean it all up and then to drive back. And just to be of service to people with it, not to be selfish, not to be self-centered, to want to do for others and treat them with kindness and love and patience and tolerance, and to know when people are hurting and be able to reach out to them and to be of service is what I feel this program is all about. And I am forever indebted to my sponsor, to this program, and to this phone call meeting to be able to grow and become the person that God wants me to be. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Okay, Lori A., you're up next, followed by Deborah R.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori A. from London, Ontario, Canada. And basically what I have to say about that paragraph is I was recently at home for Christmas, and I made amends to my mom for eating all of her frozen baking when I was a little kid. Well, not all of it, but every year I'd eat some of it. And she didn't accept it. She just said, it's a little late for that, Lori. And I had a resentment, you know. I was like, well, fine then, blah, 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 blah. But I didn't like make it any worse. So it just, I like what somebody said about resentment is a sense of entitlement. And I'm glad that I didn't make it any worse, because I've had difficulty with my family my whole life. And it's just nice that I have a relationship with them now, and I'm very grateful for that now. So I wouldn't want to do anything to mess that up. So I just wanted to thank my higher power for keeping my mouth shut, and thank you all for being here this morning, because I really needed to hear this paragraph, and I really needed to hear your shares. And I want to thank you all for doing this service to get this meeting on air. So thank you. Happy New Year. And may you all have an abstinent day. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Lori A. Okay, Deborah R., you're up next, followed by Rachel P.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deborah R. from Shelby Township, Michigan. And this paragraph, usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be harsh and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. For me, I haven't really had too many others, and usually the amends was made to the person I had, but and I can speak from experience, strength, and hope. I had an amends to make to my stepson, and I still clearly can see the day where I was in the room and all that, and I was reading it to my sponsor what I was going to say to this person. And she says, Deborah, you're not ready to make your amends. I would have affected him. I would have made it worse. I had still resentment. It was coming off as, I'm sorry for being so rude to you and putting you off, but you got to understand that, you know, you aren't easy to talk to. All you ever say is, uh-huh, and uh-uh. You can probably hear it in my demonstration here, that I just was not ready for the amends. And I had to pray for my stepson for 2 weeks, asking for everything that I wanted be given to him with entire gratitude. I got on my knee. I wrote it out, the prayer. I got on my knees and I said it. And just like the big book says, I might not feel it at first. I may not mean it. I can say it under my breath. But it was important for me to get clear and feel forgiveness or feel that I had forgiven the other person, even though I felt they had maybe more character defects than I came up with. But it's important that I go with a clear head and be prepared if when I ask, is there anything else that might be standing in the way of us having a healthy relationship, and be prepared to take what they say. Sometimes it'll be easy to just say, hey, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me. I would like to apologize and offer something to do different in the future. And if it's not that, I can say, please let me pray about that. I hear you're concerned, and I want to do this to the best of my ability, and I'll get back with you. We are
six people,
and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah R. Okay, Rachel P., you are up next, followed by Patty T.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. You know, I appreciate this paragraph that we don't play the martyr. We don't sacrifice others to save ourselves. And, you know, while I never had anything as serious as needed to turn myself into the authorities, I'm thinking about my dad, because he did in his recovery with AA just before he hit rock bottom. He was charged with something to do with domestic violence with his ex-girlfriend, and he moved back home into his parents' basement, and then after he got recovered, he came back and turned himself in. And in that case, you know, him doing that wouldn't have harmed other people, and I so admire that he did that as part of his recovery, and it was certainly inspiring for me. But as I read this in terms of my recovery in OA, you know, I'm thinking about motives here, and how it's important to do no harm when I make an amends. and that it's about serving the other person, not about serving me and my recovery, and making sure that I assess what are my motives here, what is my goal here before I talk to this person, and making sure that I'm coming from a place of humility. And, you know, it's interesting to me that I come into the amends process with somebody making it about me and what I did and not focusing on what the other person did at all. But in doing so, I make it about serving the other person, not about serving me. And so there's just kind of that interesting juxtaposition there. I think with my amends, it's important not to have expectations when I go into it. And there was one in particular that I'm thinking about that I did have expectations. You know, the St. Francis prayer says, seek to understand, not to be understood. And I think that's key for me when I go into my amends. And, you know, I made an amends to an ex-boyfriend who was recovered in AA. And, you know, I wrote him a letter because we couldn't talk in person. And I did. I said a couple of things about him and his behavior. And my goal was to be understood. It wasn't to be of service to him. And that's the one amends that I feel is not resolved, because I wasn't coming from a place of humility. I was coming from a place of vanity and wanting to be heard and understood rather than to serve. And, you know, overall, I have to understand and assess for myself, you know, is my motive to serve my defects, thereby serving my disease, which I think was the case for this one, or is it to serve others and serve my higher power? So it's all about who am I serving here, what is my motive, and making sure that I'm coming from a place of humility and to do no harm toward others as I do amends. So thank you for letting me share, and have an amazing New Year, everyone. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. Okay, Patty T., go ahead and finish, take us out today. Thanks.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. It's always so great to hear you on Mondays. And thank everybody for these amazing meetings. I'm Patty T., recovering from Southern California. And, you know, this paragraph just reminds me that even all the way up to step 9, my ego is healthy. It's still very healthy and strong, and it would, you know, allow me to walk in like a bull in a china shop and hastily and foolishly become the martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save myself. I, it's so clear to me, you know, that other people are involved, not only in the people that I need to make the amends to, but in the people that can guide me on how to make my amends. I really, by this time, hopefully I've learned that you know, I can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. I can't do it without your help or without God's help. And the reason you're in my life is to help guide me to my higher power, who will completely direct me and fully direct me so that I can actually make an amends that's going to benefit the other person and free me, you know, from my own self. I'm never going to get rid of self because God gave me self. You know, my ego is God-given. But this amends process is part of that squashing the ego and making it something that I can use for good rather than destruction for myself and others. And I need to get guidance on that, talk to other people about how to do that, and I'm just so grateful that I have all of you in my life today that can help me get there. Thanks so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Patty T. Okay, thank you everyone who shared this morning for your really amazing shares. It was a great meeting, as always. And
a special thanks to Team Monday, Shelley E., Cherry KB, Kathy Jo P., Dawn B., Marcella M., Mo H., and Reggie O., and thank you for your service this month, Team Monday. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Dawn B., would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.